If you have your Bibles, we want to turn to Numbers chapter 21. Book of Numbers and chapter 21. That'll be read together. Numbers chapter 21. And the text is found in verse 4, at the very end of verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Let's unite our hearts together. You pray that God will give you a blessing in your heart this morning from His Word. Father in heaven, we thank you for the hymn singing and the hymns of praise. We thank you for the Word of God that we've read together. Now we come to an important part of the meeting. And we need Thee, Lord. We need help to preach the Word that You've laid upon our heart. We need help, Lord, to listen to Thy Word. We need the Spirit of a living God to apply this Word to the hearts of Your people. And I pray, Lord, I would take us up then and use us for Thy glory. Let the Word come with power to hearts today. Yea, Lord, with sweetness. Let it come to the hearts of Your dear people and encourage us as we walk on with God in this day and age. Close us in with Thyself. Defeat Satan, Lord, who would hinder the blessing upon this meeting. And let us have a time, Lord, of joy and presence, in the presence of our great God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers 21 and verse 4, and it says there, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were much discouraged because of the way. There are many typical lessons to be learned from the lives of the children of Israel. Indeed, I would say there are many comparisons between the lives of the children of Israel and the people of God today. We can think of their deliverance from the land of Egypt. God in His great mercy came to them when they were slaves, when they were in bondage, when they were going through hardship. We read there in the book of Exodus how God came in all of His mercy and all of His great power, and He brought them out and He set them free and He delivered them from the house of bondage. You think of the words of Moses' father-in-law in Exodus 18 and verse 10. He says, "Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." And he is blessing God. And he's praising God because he says God brought them out. God delivered them. God brought them out of bondage unto Himself. And the Lord in His mercy, He set them free. And that happens in salvation. The Bible says in John 8 verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And we sing that great hymn, "Would you be free from your burden of sin?" Well, there's power in the blood. And there's power in the blood. And there are many people in this meeting today in God's house who has been set free. We have been delivered. And we can say God has brought us out. Brought us out from public houses. Brought us out from the bondage of sin. We've been delivered. These people have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. And that happens to God's people. And maybe some in this meeting still in sin. Still in your bondage. Still held by the devil. Well, you need to be set free. You need the blood of Christ to cleanse you. And you need to be saved. And so we have this great comparison to do with deliverance. Think of their dignity, because they were exalted to be a great people. Yes, they were slaves. They were bondmen. But it tells us in Exodus 19 and verse 6, and God says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And God exalted this people. And God looked down upon them, and they really were nothing in the eyes of the world. And yet God says, "I'm going to do something with you. I am, in a sense, I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to lift you up. You're going to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation unto me." And that's what God did with them. What has God done with His people? Well, 1 Peter 2 verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people." And God has lifted us who are saved, brought us out of bondage, and He has made us a holy nation. He has brought us into the kingdom of priests. He has made us a peculiar people. It just happens in salvation. Think of Israel's disobedience. You read the Bible, we can see they didn't always walk with God. We can see there were times they turned away from God. We can see they ran after idolatry. We can see sin after sin in their lives. In Exodus 32 and verse 8, it says, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them." And God said of this people, "They have turned away from me." And God says, "They have turned quickly out of the way." But what about ourselves? Do we not turn quickly out of the way? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Do we not feel the Lord? Very quickly we can feel God. You may not be too far out of this house of God this morning, and you go quickly out of the way. In your thoughts, in your words, in your attitudes, in your deeds. This was Israel. They went out of the way. They moved away from the law of God and the commands of God quickly. How often we are the same. Before the friends, we condemn them. What about ourselves? Maybe some of God's people today is out of the way. Maybe you're far away from God today in this house. Far away from your first love. Israel did the same. Well, think about their discouragement. Because it tells us here as they were making their journey towards the promised land, it says, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were discouraged. And they were down in the dumps. And friends, here's a people that were redeemed by the blood of Christ, and yet they were discouraged because of the way. I'm sure there's not a person here that doesn't know what I'm speaking about. I'm sure maybe some today in God's presence is discouraged, cast down, burden upon your heart, whatever it may be, dear friends. Here were a people, God's people. Here were a people who were redeemed by the blood of a lamb. Here were a people that were exalted and brought up to be made a holy nation. And it tells us here they were discouraged because of the way. They were discouraged. Are you discouraged? Are you discouraged today? A discouraged Christian. Cast down, burdened. Discouraged. I want to speak three things about their discouragement here. I want to speak about the cause of their discouragement. They were discouraged because of the way. It's good for us to look at this way that they were walking. And you can see different things that caused them to be discouraged. There was, of course, the wars. Because as they were making their way to the promised land, they found something that they had to fight. And they found out that they were hated. And time after time, the enemies came against them and fought against Israel. And there were battles, and there was death, and there was blood, and there were difficulties, and the enemies came against them. And they had to fight. Think of Exodus 17, verse 8. It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." They had only been brought out of bondage. They had only been brought out, dear friends, from under the power of Pharaoh. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And they had to fight. And they had to resist the enemy. And there had to be a battle. And we find here in verse 1, King Ereth came against them again, the Canaanite. He gathered up all of his soldiers. And he came against these people yet again. And they had to get on their battle armor. And they had to get their spears. And they had to get their swords. And they had to go out. And they had to fight. And they had to fight. And they had to fight along the way. It wasn't easy. It's not an easy road, friends. And these people were fighting. It is not easy. They had to fight. There had to be the wars. There had to be the battles, you see. And so if God's people are discouraged because there's constant battles to fight along the way. We were singing it's not an easy road. And it's not at times. There are battles to fight. There are enemies to face.
And we think of the old devil that's along the way, seeking to entice us away from Christ, seeking to tempt us into the world, seek to bring us into sin, and there's this constant battle with the devil.
What about ourselves and sin? What about the old nature? Galatians 5 verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh."
There's this battle, continual battle, in the lives of all of God's people. This war that's going on inside our hearts. The flesh wants to go this way, and the spirit wants to go this way, and the flesh wants to do this, and the spirit is saying no. And this constant war and this constant battle is taking place in my heart and the hearts of all of God's people, and it's very, very difficult.
Because you have to fight every day, and you have to fight every inch of the way.
This constant war that's taking place within our souls, you see.
And then as the unsaved and wicked that have come against us. You read in Acts 8, Saul, before he was converted, at that time there was great persecution against the church. This persecution, notice the words, against the church. And there were people that didn't like Christians. And the war against them.
And maybe, dear friends, you're discouraged because of the way, because of this constant war and this constant battle that's taking place in your heart and in your life.
And you're discouraged this morning because you had to get up this morning to put on the armor of God. The enemies are waiting around you, friends, yet again. You see, these people had to fight every inch of the way towards the promised land. Is that your experience? Battling at home and at work or whatever. You see, dear friends, they were discouraged because of the wars. The hymn says, "It's not an easy road we are traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way." It's not always easy. And God doesn't promise us an easy road. He doesn't promise us an easy road at all.
Difficult it may be, and it is at times. And maybe that's what's wrong with you this morning, child of God. You're finding it difficult. There's battles. You're finding a way, in a sense, all uphill.
And you're discouraged because of the way. Think also not only the way, think of the walk on the way. Think of their steps. Because it tells us particularly in verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Now we're told something of the direction here that they were told to take.
Earlier Moses had asked Eden for permission to pass through their land. This was the shortcut to the promised land. He had asked them. But they were refused. Numbers 20 and verse 21. They were refused to go through that way. Now, it was a very handy way. And friends, it was the short way. And I want to tell you, it was the easiest way into the promised land.
But they were refused. And they had to turn around and go, in a sense, the opposite direction and go around Eden.
And so many, many miles was placed upon them, dear friends, in their trip. And remember, these people were in the wilderness. And they had been in the wilderness for 39 years. And they were marching and marching and marching in the wilderness for 39 years.
Now, this man wouldn't let them through. And now they had to go the long way around again.
And they were discouraged by the way. Sometimes the way to heaven, dear friends, is a hard road. I know sometimes it is hard, and sometimes it is a long road. I know some of God's people who are old in age, and they would love to be in the promised land this morning. I know some of God's people would say, "I would love to go to heaven, and I cannot understand why God does not take me, why I cannot now go to be with Christ." And the way to heaven may be a hard road,
and sometimes it's a long road. Sometimes people are saved a few years to go to heaven. Sometimes God's people are weary. It's a long way, dear friends, to heaven.
No shortcuts allowed, you see. Oh, think about your steps here. This difficult road was. Think about the sand along the way. You see, remember these people were in the wilderness. They were not walking the highways that you and I today can walk with some comfort. No, in Deuteronomy 1 verse 19, he says, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness. And he's just giving us a description of the way that they had to walk. And he says, a terrible wilderness. You see, friends, there was a stone and there were the sands. And it was difficult to walk in this way. They were shut in by the mountains, walls on other sides. And so it was not easy to walk in the wilderness. Think of the storms, the rain, and the thunder, and all the rest for 39 years. Think of the snakes, as we read about here, the serpents that were sent, and they've been bitten, and people were falling down, dying around their feet. Think, dear friends, of the sun, because someone has pointed out that they were making this journey in the 6th or the 7th month of the year, the hottest time of the year. And it was this multitude of people. And there were men and women, and there were children, and their livestock. They're stuck out in the wilderness in the hottest part of the year. And they were discouraged. It wouldn't be easy. In our case, it'd be walking out in the rain. A lot of people are discouraged by the way nowadays. We always seem to be shouting about the rain that we're getting. But the people out here, it was the sun. I want to say to you here about, well, their walk, their steps. It was not easy. Shut out there in the wilderness, subject to sandstorms. Shut out their friends all alone. It was a hard way to heaven. You see, they were discouraged because of the way. Are you finding it hard today, child of God? Difficulties have crept into your life. Is it hard at home? Is it hard in the workplace? Is it hard bearing testimony for Christ, you say? Are you discouraged because of the way, you say? There seems to be so much against me. Remember, these people had lost all their comforts. Did not have homes and the comforts that you and I enjoy. And they were discouraged because of the way. Are you discouraged? Are you cast down today? These people were cast down. Do you see yourself in this picture? Do you say, I've had enough? Do you find it hard walking with Christ? Living for Christ in this day and age? Discouraged because of the way. One thing, not only their cause, one thing of their complaint and their discouragement. You can see in verse 5, right after it says in verse 4, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the people spake against God. And you see, friends, they were cast down, and they were discouraged. And they were finding it difficult, and they were discouraged because of the way, and it tells us immediately. And they spake against God and against Moses. They started to complain, you see. You see, discouragement, lose your tongue. And you start to speak. And you don't start to praise God. You start to speak against Him. And these people got together, maybe a little groups somewhere here, some of them, I do not know. But God, isn't this terrible? Look what is happening. Look where we are. And they complained and they complained and they speak against God. Wherefore? Why are we going this way? Why are we going this way? And they started all to complain. And they murmured against God and against Moses. And you can read and not turn to the passage. Five times you'll read of these people, it says, and they murmured against Moses. Acts 15, verse 24 is one. And the people murmured against Moses. They murmured against Moses. And they murmured against Moses, and they murmured against God. And so there was in their murmuring, their complaint, their murmuring, you see. Why are we going this way? do I not do the same? Do you not do the same? Do you not complain? Speaking against God, do you not say, why? That's what these people were saying. Wherefore? Why? Is that what you do? And you're complaining? And your heart gets bitter? And you say, Lord, why? Why are you taking us this way? It's so difficult. Lord, it is so hard. You see, when you complain, you murmur. And so they murmured against God and against Moses. The Bible tells me in Philippians 2 and verse 14, to do all things without murmuring and disputing. We're to do all things without this murmuring and disputing. But the people complained. And they spoke against God and against Moses. And maybe today in this house, child of God, you have this complaint, this murmuring spirit within your heart, and you're speaking against God. And you're saying, why? Why, Lord? Think not only if they're murmuring and they're complaining, think of their unbelieving. He actually says, have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Have you brought us out? You know, God brought us to this place to die. And Moses, you brought us all out with the wives and the children and everything that we've had. And you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us. And Moses said this. But that's what these people said. Because they were discouraged. They were discouraged. They'd lost hope, friends. And they'd lost hope. And they'd lost their faith. And they said, the Lord has brought us out into this wilderness, well, to kill us. They were failing to believe the promise of God. The promise was of God to bring them into the promised land. But this is what discouragement does. It takes away, dear friends, your joy. It takes away your faith. And you says, I'm going to perish. Didn't that happen to Elijah? The mighty man of God that he was. One who loved Christ and walked with Christ. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down on a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. You see, he's discouraged. And he's cast down. And he's had enough. And he's finding the way very difficult and very hard. And he says, Lord, it is enough. Take away my life. Tell me, friends, if you come to this position, do you feel you're not making it to a promised land? Are you painting the picture black? Because when you get discouraged, it's always black. Your whole life seems blacker. Everything is difficult. The easiest thing that once you used to do with ease is now so difficult. Why? Discouraged. Discouraged because of the way of things. They take away your joy and they take away your faith, you see. And sometimes they say, what's the point? What's the point in going on? Is there some of God this morning? Some of God's people? Some who are not? Have had enough of life? Dear friends, terrible thing is discouragement. It can bring you so low. They said that no water and no bread. They were wrong. They had manna from heaven. In Psalm 78, verse 25, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. They had water from the rock. God had looked after. In Deuteronomy 2 and verse 7, it tells about the years in the wilderness. It says here, but he knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord thy God has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. That's the testimony of God. They had lacked nothing. And yet here they were out in the wilderness and they were complaining, we're going to die and we have nothing. And it was all wrong. Dear friend, if you're complaining this morning, it's all wrong. Especially God's people. You have everything in Christ. You have everything, you see. But all these people were complaining because they were discouraged. They started to talk. I read a statement the other day. It says, when in deep water, it's a good idea to keep your mouth shut. Probably right, isn't it? If you're in deep water, keep your mouth shut. A good statement. What have we really got to complain about? We do a lot, don't we? I read also through the week, someone was talking about complaining. He said this, to remember these things. Our forefathers did without sugar until the 13th century. Somebody couldn't do without sugar. Not right. Without coal fires until the 14th century. Without buttered bread until the 15th century. Without potatoes until the 16th century. Without coffee, tea and soup until the 17th century. Without pudding until the 18th century. Without matches and electricity until the 19th century. Without canned goods until the 20th century. And then he said this, now what was it you were complaining about? Isn't that right? How did people live years ago? And with everything that touched at a button. And we complain. We get cast down. And we get discouraged. And we complain. And friends, when you complain, you're complaining against God. These people are complaining against God. So it's good to keep our mouth shut when in deep water. They complained, you see. And they spake against God. And they spake against Moses. Because they're discouraged. Discouraged because of the way. Oh, friends, are you discouraged? Complaining? Have you been complaining? Which one of us hasn't? I must confess, we all have. We all know what we're speaking about. As I said here, our people is a wonderful picture of ourselves. Delivered by the blood. Brought out of bondage. Aye, discouragement. Complaining against God. And so there was a complaint and discouragement. May we not be complainers. May we count our blessings and name them one by one. And it will surprise us what the Lord has done. They were discouraged because of the way. Can I speak at 30 about the cure for their discouragement? There were some things that would help them along the way. And they were there all the time. And one of the things was this. There was the prayer. They had a man who could pray for them. In verse 7. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And notice a little phrase. And Moses prayed for the people. You see, dear friends, they had one who could enter into God's presence and pray for them. And they were discouraged and they complained. And yet they had one they could turn to. And it was Moses. And it was Moses, the servant of the Lord. And Moses prayed for the people. They had someone to pray for them. And friends, it was Moses. Discouraged, yes. But Moses could pray for them. And that's a wonderful picture for us, child of God, today. Discouraged, remember this. You have one who loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ. You have one who cares for you. You have one at this moment of time who's praying for you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And it says in Hebrews 7 verse 25, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And he's always praying for his people. And he's always bringing our names before the throne of grace. And he's always bringing our problems when we bring them to him. They brought their problems to Moses. And Moses prayed for the people. And friend, are you discouraged this morning? Remember Christ praying for you. Remember the Lord Jesus, this particular time of your discouragement, your complaint, your difficulty, your problem, he's praying for you. He prays for his people. Think also along the way, their progress. They were discouraged because of the way. But all the time as I come to this passage, they were discouraged. But they were making progress. They were going step by step, closer and closer and closer. What? Towards the promised land. When this king in verse 1 came against them, they defeated him. And they utterly destroyed him and all that he had. And they made progression. See, we can see that in verse 11. In verse 10, sorry, and the children of Israel sat forward and pitched in Ophath. And then you can read again in verse 11, and they journeyed from Ophath. And then you see there in verse 12, and from thence they're removed. And right down that whole chapter, you read about them moving. And you read about them marching on. You read about them going on, friends. They were discouraged because of the way, but all the time they were making progress. All the time they were going on. All the time, friends, they were getting closer to the promised land, you see. They may be discouraged, but they're getting closer home to the promised land. And say to God, can I say to you, you may be discouraged because of the way, but you're closer to heaven today than you were this time last week. They're still making progress. The march is still going on. These people were discouraged. These people were cast down, but they were still moving on. And they were still going on towards the promised land. And they may be discouraged, and they may be complaining, but they're still progressing. The verse in Romans 13, verse 11, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It is nearer than when we believed. This time last week, we were farther away from the promised land. Maybe you have complained all week. Maybe you have been discouraged from last Lord's Day. Maybe, friends, you have been cast down. But remember this, you've made progression one week closer to heaven. The march is going on. God is bringing His people into the promised land, you see. And dear friends, He's bringing you closer. Think about their provision along the way as well. In verse 16, it says there, and from thence they went to Beer. And that is a well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses. Gather the people together, and I will give them water. And here's God coming to this people. And God says, I will give them water. And they needed water. Very essential. Out in the wilderness. Out in the sun. But God was meeting every need along the way. And I can say to you, child of God, this. God will meet your every need. Every step of the way, you'll lack nothing. He has promised to meet the need of His people. In Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply our need along the way. And here were these people. They were discouraged by the way, but the Lord was meeting their need. God was giving them water. God was giving them bread. Whatever they needed, He was giving it to them. And God will meet your every need. Discouraged by the way, listen, God has not forgotten about you. He knows your trials. He knows your troubles. He knows your every need, friends, and He will meet your need. Think about their praise along the way. Look at verse 17. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. And here's the people. And they're singing. And not long before this, what? They were complaining. And they were murmuring against God. And they were murmuring against Moses. And they were complaining. Now, dear friends, in a short period of time, they're singing. And that's a great lesson for us. There's times of joy along the way. There's times of joy in Christ along the way. It's not always going to be gloomy. It's not always going to be the dark clouds hanging over you. It's not always going to be the trials and the troubles. No, you'll be coming to the well sometime with the water and refreshed, dear friends. And they'll sing with joy unto Christ. And so along the way we can be encouraged by this. But God can turn everything around in a moment. And I have no doubt that there may be some people in today discouraged. And you see next week, you'll be coming in, you'll be singing. And you'll be singing away, and I can hear you from up here. Yeah, I said, boy, they're first singing today. And just like these people at the well. Because it says in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so you're discouraged because of the well this morning. You'll be coming across to this well very shortly. Maybe you've come across it this morning. I hope, trust you have. I trust you'll go out with joy in your heart. You've met Christ. And Christ has spoken to your heart. And you have joy been poured in by the power of the Holy Spirit into your soul. And God's taken away all the clouds away. You see, dear friends, this was one of the cures for their discouragement. You'll come across the well, no doubt about it. And think also of their path. You see, they were discouraged because of the way. But remember this. It was God's way. This was the way He wanted to take them to Canaan. This was the right way. In Psalm 107 and verse 7 it says, "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." I notice here, it's called the right way. They were discouraged because of the way, but friends, it was the right way. It was God's way. It was God's way. And friends, we can discourage or we can encourage ourselves this morning that we're on the right way. Are you redeemed by the blood of Christ? Are you washed in His blood? Is He your Savior? You're marching to heaven? You're on the right way. Don't be discouraged. Don't be blue. Don't, dear friends, be cast down. We're on the right way. Maybe the hard way, difficult, and long way. But it's God's way. And it's good to be on the right way. And that's a great cure for discouragement. I'm on the right way. I'm walking with Christ. I'm loving Christ. I'm following Christ. I'm going the right way. The way that leads to heaven and to home. These people are on the right way, taking them to the promised land. And dear friends, when you have Christ, you're on the right way. And you're heading home to heaven. As that would encourage them in their time of discouragement. Can I say to you, child of God, then rejoice. There is a great cure for discouragement. Christ is praying for us. We're making progress. Oh yes, God will meet our every need. We'll be times of praise and joy. And we're on the right pathway. Because we're in God's way. Which is the right way. And is the best way. Maybe there's some not saved in our meeting. You're on the wrong way. How miserable will be your eternity. How difficult it will be for you when you come to die. How terrible it will be when you come to stand before God at the judgment. How terrible it will be for thee when the Lord Jesus looks at you and says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." How terrible it will be. And then, friends, to see that you're lost for all eternity. You've been on the wrong way. Are you going the wrong way today? Are you heading towards hell? Are you rolling after the world in sin? It's the wrong way. It's the wrong way. All I would say to you, to turn to Christ. Repent from your sin and come and trust Him. And He will save you today. Oh, God's people, take heart. Discouraged because of the way. We have a great God. We have a great Savior who's with us. Who's meeting every need. And every step of the way is another step nearer home. May God write His word upon our hearts. Let's all pray. Loving Father in heaven, write Thy word upon the hearts of all Your dear people. And I pray if any has come in discouraged and cast down, that Thou hast lifted them up, that the dark clouds already has been taken away. I read about these, Lord, people, the children of Israel, that they came to the wells. And God says, "I will give you water." And Lord, then they sang. Oh Lord, put the joy into the hearts of Your dear people. And lift them up at this time. And let them encourage themselves in the Lord. And for those who's not saved, going the wrong way. Going the way, Lord, that leads towards hell. I pray that I will give them grace to repent. And to believe the gospel. And to come to Christ. Take us in our separate ways into our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.